All right, take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and the book of Luke, chapter number 11. The book of Acts, chapter number 2, and the book of Luke, chapter number 11. I thank the Lord for His goodness and grace to us. And it's been some interesting couple of years, not only in society and government, people's lives. There's just, I know things have always been busy and there's always been people sick and there's always been people die through the ages, but man, it seems like, at least personally, that it's been close to home the last couple years and things that have been going on, but through everything, I can still say God's good. And I'm thankful for Him. The other day, a man made a statement about our church that I'm thankful for. It has nothing to do with our church. We're a small church, but we try to please the Lord. And he made a statement the other day and said, he said, "White Oak Independent Baptist Church is a great church." And I said, "Well, I'm glad you feel that way. Praise the Lord." He doesn't come here. He pastors another church, but he's been here before and listened to our messages, but I told him, to God be the glory. Amen. The Lord gets all the glory and praise for anything that's ever said and done. But it got me thinking about him making that statement. Years ago, when we first started this church, about 6 years ago. Actually, the camp meeting that we have every year is our church anniversary. It's the anniversary of when we started White Oak Independent Baptist Church. And right after we started the church, I preached a series of messages entitled "The Marks of a Great Church." What makes a great church? And some of those things, I would like to kind of revisit some of those. I'm probably not going to do it exactly as I did before, but I'd like to revisit some of those the next few weeks as we're leading up to our anniversary and to the camp meeting. Some marks of a great church. And look with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. And I want to remind everyone this morning that anything that's good that comes out of our church is because of God. Because of this book, it has nothing to do with me or has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Him. And I'm thankful that He allows us to be a part of it. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. If you would there, we'll look at these few verses and then get into the message this morning, the first part of the marks of a great church. Here in Acts chapter 2, we're not going to go through the whole chapter, but we find the day of Pentecost that took place there in Acts chapter number 2. And we find that Peter's preaching full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost was poured out upon the people there, and they begin to preach and teach. And there's the nation of Israel. Peter was preaching about how they had crucified their Messiah. And but they were preaching full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to be involved in something that the Holy Ghost is involved in. Amen. I want to be involved in singing and preaching and praising the Lord that He's involved in. I don't much like being a part of any kind of church services that God is not interested in being a part of. I appreciate the singing that we do here at the church, and we're going to mention that in messages to come, but I appreciate the singing. We do those things, and we sing the songs because we believe it honors God, and we want to invite Him to be a part of our service. And so when we sing the hymns and we open it and we begin to sing those songs about giving God glory and about the things that we sing about Him, they're hymns about Him. We ought to do it with a heart that praises Him. Because what we're trying to do is invite Him to be a part of the service. We want the Holy Spirit to be pleased with our worship, and He will come and be a part of the service, and He'll take the Word of God and He'll apply it to your life. I could preach all I want and come up with illustrated messages and outlines and do all these things that I want to, but if the Holy Spirit of God is not a part of it, then it won't do anything for your life. He has to be the one to apply it to you. He has to be the one to teach us. The Bible tells us of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is He teaches you those things that you've already learned, or the Bible, if you read it and hear preaching, that He'll teach you those things. He has to be the one to do it. Amen. Over the years of being here, we've seen people get saved, and I think a few of them I saved. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean, I came down here, and we went through the verses, but I think I saved them. I don't think God saved them, because it didn't stick. Amen. You say, what? The Holy Spirit of God has to be the one to save. The Holy Spirit of God has to be the one to apply these messages. And so Peter's preaching full of the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost, and we find a church, the New Testament church, begins to be formed. We know later on Paul the Apostle comes on the scene in Acts chapter number 9. God saves him and he gives him the doctrine for the church today, and all those things begin to play out. But right here we find the Holy Spirit being sent down. And Acts chapter 2 verse number 41, the Bible said that they that gladly received His Word. You know, right off the bat, that tells me that there's some that didn't gladly receive it. It didn't say, then they all gladly received the Word. It said, then they that gladly received the Word were baptized. So there were some that did not gladly accept the Word. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I hear sometimes every year they come out and say, this is the fastest growing church in America. You know, I'll see some kind of article that comes out. I would imagine that this one day, 3,000 souls being added to the church here would be one of the fastest growing churches of that time. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We find here a group, and I know those that are saved are added to the body of Christ, which is the church. But here we find a local church being assembled. We find a local church that's beginning to minister and things that are happening. And I like being a part of a church where things are happening. Amen. Years ago, there were some ideas brought up of some things we could do as a church. And one of the church members said, man, we don't have time to do anything. So what does that mean? We stay busy doing something. Amen. And last year, it was, man, a rough year. And we didn't get to do much, but I want to get back to doing things for God. Amen. We need to get back to knocking doors and doing things and going house to house, like they said here, and trying to tell people about Jesus. We need to get back to doing that. That's a part of the reason for these messages coming up here soon. But the Bible said here that they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And then in verse number 47 saying they praise God and having favor with all men. Having favor with all men. Now, because of the fact that they had favor with all men, people were paying attention to this place. They were paying attention to this church. This early church here in the book of Acts was a great church. It was a church that ended up sending out missionaries across the world. It was a church that sent out the gospel. It was a church that did all kind of things that would make them to be considered a great church. And I want to look at a few of those things as we go through here the next few weeks. And I want to look at the marks of a great church. And the first one this morning is not necessarily in the order of our text. But the first one this morning, a mark of a great church is a church that prays. We find that here in this verse, the verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. One of the marks of a great church is a church that prays. One of the marks of a great church is one that preaches. Man, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they begin to go from house to house preaching and teaching of God. And man, I tell you what, a mark of a great church is one that not only prays, but it's going to be one that preaches. That word preach means to proclaim. And it's going to be a church that does that. The mark of a great church is going to be one that praises God. We see there in verse number 47, they praising God and having favor with all the people. One of the marks of a great church is going to be one that praises God. I don't want to be afraid to praise Him. I don't want to be afraid to lift Him up. We do it in song and thank God for it, but the Bible gives us all kind of examples on how to praise God. By lifting up of the hands, by lifting up of the voice, amen. There's ways that we can praise God. And that's one of the marks of a great church. You go into a church and it's dead, you wonder where God is. Amen. I've been in churches before where you're looking for the body. Amen. You're trying to find the body. And you don't have to look too far around. You'll find somebody that's got found the body. They find the body of Jesus still on the cross. Amen. Might be on a bookmark or on a necklace or something. Jesus still hanging up. Hey, Jesus isn't on the cross. He's alive. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Amen. He's alive. And so one of the marks of a great church is one that praises Him. One of the marks of a great church is one that participates. All this is right here in this text, and we're going to look through it the next few weeks. And then the last thing is a mark of a great church is one that pleases God. Amen. One where God will put His stamp on it and say, I'm pleased and approved. And now I'm going to add to your church. That's what He did here in this verse. Look what it says. And the Lord added to the church daily. Amen. The Lord added to the church. So the first one I want to look at this morning is a church that prays. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Alright, most of you should be over there. Luke chapter number 11. And we're just going to look at one verse and I'm going to get into the message this morning. Luke chapter number 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as He was praying, talking about Jesus, in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Brother Bowen, would you stand and pray for the message once again? Amen. His disciples here in Luke chapter number 11 find Jesus praying. The Bible said that He was praying in a certain place, and when He stopped praying, one of the disciples came over and said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. Could you imagine this morning hearing Jesus Christ pray? He's our example, amen. I know we've got men and there's ladies that I know and there's men that I know that I enjoy hearing them pray. You say, what is it, man? They just know how to get a hold of God, man. They know how to talk to their friend. They know how to talk to God. But out of all those people, I couldn't imagine hearing Jesus pray. You know, I'm thankful this morning that He prays for you and me. He prays for us. The Bible says sometimes we don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit of God knows what to pray, and He intercedes on our behalf. But I can't imagine being here this day and them hearing Jesus praying and hearing Him talking to God, and they came up to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then all of a sudden, He begins to give them what is called the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the pattern prayer, amen? Here in verse number 2, it said, He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus gave them an example of a prayer when He said, teach us to pray. You know, you wouldn't think that as a child of God, we would need to learn how to pray. But we do. We need to learn how to pray. I'm not going to go into great detail on that this morning, but we need to learn how to pray. Most of the time, people pray just in passing. Maybe they'll pray over their meal, and maybe they'll do a lay me down to sleep prayer. But you know, most people, the only time they pray is when they're in trouble and yelling out, "Oh my God!" is not praying. But that's normally the only talking to God people do. And it's taking the Lord's name in vain when you do that. If you have a habit of saying that, you're taking His, you're not talking to God. You're not praying to Him. Amen. You're using His name as a curse word. You shouldn't be in the habit of doing that. But most people, you would think as a child of God, we wouldn't need to know how to pray. And these disciples that spent time with God, but they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He gave them this model prayer here. And it's always a good rule. When you pray, just like He did in His prayer, the first thing you do is just brag on God. I mean, the first thing you do, hey, it'd be good if you want to pray for about an hour, and take about 15 minutes and just brag on God.
Amen.
And then take about 15 minutes and just confess your sins, man, get right with God. Just go through the list of everything you know you've done wrong and get right with Him. And then spend about 15 minutes praying for other people. And maybe praying for whatever requests you have, and then spend 15 minutes just talking to God. That's an hour. People get up in church and sing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. They haven't prayed an hour in a year. Amen? Lord, teach us to pray. And I tell you what, a church that's going to be marked as a great church for God is going to be one that talks to God. A church that God's going to be pleased with is one that talks to Him. Prayer is one resource. It's one thing we have. It's a benefit we have that people rarely take advantage of. You realize that I can go to the Creator of the heaven and earth right now and talk to Him? But how often do we do it? How often do we do it? We live in a day and age right now where you don't necessarily, I'm trying to word this right, but society has set you up to believe that you don't need God. You don't need anything but government and medicine. I mean, we're living in that day and age where people used to try to get a hold of God for things and try to get some wisdom on things. But now, instead of doing that, we run straight to the doctor, or we run straight to the psychiatrist, or we run straight to a buddy of ours, amen, instead of talking to God. It's an untapped resource. I get to talk to the Creator of the heaven and earth. There's more people today on prescription medicines than ever. Say, what are you getting at? Whatever it is that's ailing you, you're trying medicine before you try God. As soon as something happens, thank God she sent out a text the other day saying, hey ladies, why don't we talk to God about the weather? She didn't call up James Spann and ask him to do something about it. You're laughing. There's some people that think that he can. They get mad at him for bad weather, like it's his fault. There's some nuts. Say, so what are you getting at? I'm talking about praying is something that every one of us have access to. But most Christians today, they will take every other route before they go prayer. They'll talk to somebody at work. It always blew my mind when you have somebody that's saved and they're born again, they're a child of God. Even before they'll go to a pastor or go to another church member that's godly, they'll go to a lost coworker to ask advice about their marriage. Amen? It's real quiet in here, but I'm talking about praying. One of the marks of a great church. It's one of the great untapped resources. Sometimes, and we ought to all the time, but sometimes we'll pray for our food. Sometimes we'll pray a lay me down to rest prayer. But what I'm talking about this morning is setting time aside to talk to God. One of the marks of a great church is one that prays. One of the marks of a great Christian is one that prays. I'm talking about getting a hold of God. Turning off the television. Turning off, putting down a book. Putting down Facebook. And actually spending time talking to God. And we don't do it. The average Christian, most Christians do not spend any time in prayer. I'm not talking about praying for your food. I'm not talking about, Lord, I'm going to sleep now. I'm talking about getting somewhere like God did, or like Jesus did, and talking to God and praying. Every great church down through the ages, you can find people in that church that prayed. And they were faithful to pray. You say, Brother Andrew, I don't have time to pray. Well, I'm going to say you can't afford not to pray. You can't afford not to pray. I need God. I need His wisdom. I know I get it from that book, but I need to talk to Him. I need to spend time with Him. I talk to Him, and He talks to me. Amen. He talks to me through His Word and through preaching, through other people. God will use other people to speak to me. But I tell you what, I need to talk to Him. I've given the illustration many, many times about my wife and I. And if I don't ever speak to her, and all I ever do is talk to her, that if I don't ever talk to her at all, our relationship wouldn't be any good at all. Amen? And that's, most Christians are in that condition this morning, and I'm preaching this message out of conviction this morning. I'm not talking about being convicted about the message itself. I know this is what God wants. I'm talking about I'm under conviction about it. About prayer. God burdened my heart about this thing. About praying to God. And I want to look at just a few aspects of prayer this morning, real briefly, and we'll go through here. Number one, I'd like to look at the place of prayer. Jesus found here in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, it said, and He was praying in a certain place. In a certain place. Number one, I like to say the place of prayer, there ought to be a private place of prayer. We all ought to have a private place of prayer. In Matthew 6:6, the Bible said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Every person ought to have somewhere that they can get alone and talk to God. You ever heard of a praying closet? Amen. That's what He's talking about there. Having a prayer closet. It might be on a long drive to work. Maybe that's where you'll pray. It might be a certain place you like going. It might be in the middle of the water on a boat somewhere. I don't know. Hey, but there ought to be somewhere that you go to spend time talking to God. It needs to be a dedicated place. A place that you know that you can go and get alone with God. And it's probably a good idea not to take your cell phone with you. It's probably a good idea not to have Facebook anywhere around or any kind of alerts coming up on your phone. Jesus had set Himself aside in a certain place where He was going to go talk to God, and we ought to have a private place where we can talk to God. We ought to have a place in our home or somewhere in our life where we can go talk to the Creator of the heaven and earth, and we can have a real conversation with Him and not just thank You for our food, but actually talk to Him about what we got going on in our life and try to get wisdom and understanding from Him. And hey, I tell you what, we need that in our life, and we need that in our church. We need a place where we can talk to Him. With the development of social media, man, people don't think they need God. They don't think they need Him. Why? I've got all the answers on my phone. You know what it's called? Google. Google has taken the place of God. I don't have to pray about anything. Why? Because there's an answer on Google. Amen? I mean, it used to be people would have to get alone with God and say, I got to get wisdom on this thing. Now we just look it up. We have an artificial God. This artificial intelligence. And we got to get back to praying. You know, you might say, Lord, I know what everybody else says I should do, but I want to ask You what You think. People on there Googling, what do I need to do with my child? What do I need to do with my marriage? Amen? People have stopped talking to God. And we ought to have a private place. There ought to be a private place in our life where we pray and try to get a hold of God and talk to Him and pray for the brethren and pray for one another. There ought to be a private place of prayer. Now, there also should be a public place of prayer. Man, it seemed like it used to be you would always see people praying in public. I mean, they'd be praying over their meal, or they'd be out somewhere at a gathering, and they would get people together, and they would open up in prayer. They used to open up all kind of government gatherings in prayer. They would open public gatherings in prayer. You don't hardly see that anymore. You don't hardly see that anymore, but prayer ought to be not only private, but it ought to be public. You ought to be able to pray in schools and restaurants and at work and those things, man. People ought to see you praying over your food. That's a great testimony to God for you to hold hands or get together as a family and pray over your food. There ought to be a public place of prayer. Our church ought to be a place where you can pray. We have time set aside at our church on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, on Sunday mornings at 9:30 before church, an opportunity for people to come and pray and try to get a hold of God. It's time set aside to do that. There's nothing else going on. We don't have a full church service. All we're doing is praying. We have time set aside on Wednesday night that we take and try to go over the request and pray. You know what you ought to do? You ought to try to be a part of it and pray. We need God. One of the problems is we've been convinced that we don't need Him. And everybody in this building would say, Brother Andrew, I would never say to you, I don't need God. Well, the problem is we haven't talked to Him in so long. He's starting to think that you don't need Him. Amen. I know we have the right Bible and we've got, I believe, the right way of having church and all those kind of things. But the Laodicean church was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. There's a lot of Christians today that they don't need anything. Amen. It's real quiet, but I'm trying to encourage you this morning that we still need God. Can't do this without Him. I can't be a father and a wife. I'm not a wife. I can't be a father and a husband. I can't do that either, amen. Some of those other people need to figure that out. I can't do none of those things without God. Trying to pastor a church, trying to do a job, man, you can't do it without Him. And those that pray in public, you don't need to be like that man that stood in the temple and said, "Hey, I'm not like this guy." Amen. You know, I can tell a lot of times if somebody doesn't have a private prayer life. If you call on somebody to pray, and I'm not saying all the time, I know some people get nervous, but man, sometimes when you call on somebody to pray, and it's like they're talking to a complete stranger. You know what I mean? Are they putting on this great show? You know, when you talk to God, you ought to talk to Him like you're talking to a friend. He is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Amen. I've been in places before where people are called on to pray, and it's not just because they're nervous. Man, they're not afraid to talk in front of anybody. But they start talking to God, and it's like they're talking to a complete stranger. Amen. It ought not to be that way. It ought to be like, I'm talking to Brother Bowen, and I can turn right around and start talking to the Lord. Where I don't have to introduce myself every time I talk to Him. Hey Lord, my name's Andrew McAfee. I don't remember if you remember me. You created me back in 1985 and I was born again in 1995, but I haven't talked to you since then. Amen? Wouldn't that be sad? I have to remind my kids sometimes, and this is a danger for us adults too, when we do pray over our food and when we do get ready to go to bed, that sometimes we get so habitual in our praying that we're just going through emotion and we're not talking to anybody. I got to remind my kids of that sometimes. I'll say, because we pray for all of our meals and we pray at night and we'll be getting ready to go to bed and we're going down and say, all right, Emma pray and Ella pray and Elijah pray and I'm going to tell on him for a second. And this is nighttime. We're about to go to sleep. And he says, Lord, thank you for this food. Say, son, what are you doing? He's just going through the motions. We laugh, but how many times have we done that? Yeah. Even in church. Lord, bless the service. All we're doing is just going through the motion. We're not talking to anybody. Yeah. It don't even leave the ceiling. And sometimes we get a time, even on Saturday nights or anything, or Wednesday nights, we're praying, and maybe somebody's praying behind the pulpit, and we're just sitting there, and we're just kind of looking through it, and sometimes it goes absolutely nowhere because we're not talking to anybody. Yeah. We're just talking to ourselves. Amen? We need Him. Yeah. God is a being. And He saved us, and He wants to talk to us, and He wants to spend time with us. That's what He desires more than anything, is that His children would just spend time with Him and talk to Him. And I know we're supposed to be in a state of prayer, and I'm going to get to that in just a second, but He also would like some dedicated time where there's no distractions, and there's not running through and running out, and just absolutely spending time talking to Him. Amen. Maybe a half an hour, an hour, whatever, set aside, and you say, I'm going to talk to the Lord. And maybe you can't do the whole hour every day. Maybe once a week you can do that. We give you an opportunity to come here and do that on Saturday nights as a church and come and spend time for about an hour just talking to God. Maybe you can't do that every week, every single day, but every day there needs to be a set aside time to talk to Him. Take 15 minutes at first. Take 30 minutes. If you can do an hour, praise God. And get up early in the morning or something, turn off the devices and take time to talk to Him. You'll be amazed how much better your day will go. You'll be amazed at how much more wisdom and clarity you'll have on making decisions. So much more. The place of prayer. There ought to be a private place. There ought to be a public place. And there ought to be you ought to be able to pray everywhere. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Amen. Where? Pray everywhere. Talk to God everywhere. Don't be afraid to do that. I was with an old preacher years ago. We were walking through Walmart. We were walking through the hardware section and he stopped. I was at a meeting somewhere or something. I don't remember exactly where it was, but he stopped right where he was in the hardware and said, hey, wait a second. I need to pray. I said, okay. And so he said, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for being good to me. And thank you so much for blessing me and giving me wisdom on that thing you know about. In Jesus' name, amen. I said, all right. And then we kept walking. He had forgotten to thank God for something and he stopped right. You know what that is? It's praying everywhere. There's people walking around. I mean, he didn't think twice about it. I've been around some preachers before that if you walk up to them and say, hey, will you please pray for this? They'll stop what they're doing right there and they'll grab your hand and start praying. One old preacher, I forget his name, but he said he does that because he might forget later. And if he tells you he's going to pray for you, he does it right then and there. And then that way he don't forget about it. Then what's that? Praying everywhere. If somebody asks you to pray for something, what's the chances it's going to get prayed for? Thank God for a church where you say, hey, I got prayer needs, here's the request, and maybe it'll get prayed for on Wednesday night when the man behind the pulpit stands up and some of our men stand up and they read that prayer and they pray over it, but is that the last time it ever gets mentioned? Amen. What if somebody was counting on you to get prayers through? Can I tell you they are? There's people counting on this church to get prayers through. Nick, that little girl in your arms is counting on you to talk to God every day. There's a Sunday school class in there counting on you to talk to God every day. This church is counting on me to talk to God every day. Amen? There's somebody counting on you to talk to God every single day. We ought to pray everywhere. Ought to have a private prayer life, a public prayer life, an everywhere prayer life. You say, what's that's the place of prayer. What's the period of prayer always? The Bible said in Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You say, what does that mean? You're in constant communication to God. You're constantly talking to Him. I mean, every decision you make in your life, you ought to be talking to God about it. Back to the husband and wife. Man, and I'm guilty of what I'm about to say. making decisions without talking to your wife. It doesn't always turn out well. Amen? Sometimes I'll be telling somebody about my plans, Brother Bowen or somebody, and they'll look at Miss Sarah and she's like, this is the first I've heard about it. How many times do we do that to God? I'm not just talking about big things, anything. And then later on, Lord, God, would you help me? I'm in such a mess. Man, I just wish you would have talked to me about this before you did it. My dad and I mentioned that the other day about something. Said, hey, they never talked to me about it. Did they ever talk to you? Nope, never talked to me about it. Amen. You know how many times God's done that? And then later on they're in trouble and they're hurting or something's going on. And then we go to God, all of a sudden He's like, okay, now you want to talk to me about it? And I'm thankful He's merciful and gracious. Aren't you? Long-suffering. But that could have been prevented if we would have just talked to Him. Being in a state of praying, praying without ceasing. We ought to talk to God about absolutely everything. Something comes up, you're going down the road, ask the Lord about it. Talk to Him about it. The problem is we're so distracted with that device, we don't have time for Him. The place of prayer, the period of prayer, let me go through here quickly, the person of prayer is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:1-3, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus Christ is the person of prayer. I mean, you ought not to be praying to anybody else. You know what pray means? To ask. Before you ever ask one doctor, you should have already talked to God about it once. If He gave you the liberty and the wisdom to go to the doctor, He uses doctors. I get it. He uses medicine. I understand all those things. But you better talk to Him first. Before you talk to the realtor, before you talk to the banker, before you ask anybody, you should have talked to Him first. And let Him lead and guide you to where you need to go. When He gets on the back end of it, usually He's having to fix something. Amen. He's the person of prayer. That pray means to ask. We ought to ask Him first. The Bible said He intercedes for us, and I'm thankful for that. 1 Timothy 2:5-6 says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He knows you better than anybody. And He knows what you need, so why not ask Him first? Amen. Is this all right this morning? The place of prayer and period of prayer and person of prayer. I got a bunch here. I'm going to go quickly. The purpose of prayer. What's the purpose? It's to communicate with God. To talk to your Creator. Amen. To talk to your Creator. The purpose is to communicate with God. It's to confess sins. To keep from sinning. The Bible said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. It's hard to sin when you're praying. Amen. If you've got a habitual sin or something in your life that you just struggle with, every time you think about doing that thing, why don't you just start talking to God? Amen? I used to tell people all the time, if you've got a problem smoking, every time you light up a cigarette, start reading your Bible and let the ashes fall on it. Amen? You got a problem drinking? If you got a problem looking at something on the computer, every time you do it, open the Bible and let it sit there and let God watch with you. Now that's a physical illustration of what's already happening on the inside. Because He's there. But every time you start wanting to do something or think, just start talking to God about it. Man, I've had thoughts before popping in my mind about people or about a situation, and I started thinking about the wrong things and immediately started saying, Lord, I'm sorry. And just start talking to Him. What happened? I didn't go into sinning. Amen. Just start talking to Him. Man, I tell you what, praying can keep you from sinning. You also ought to pray to intercede on other people's behalf. Amen? We talked about the kids a second ago. Man, we ought to go to God for them every day. Pray that God save them at a young age. Pray that they would fall in love with Him. Man, I tell you what, we ought to intercede for one another. We ought to go to God for one another. There were 3 or 4 days there, whenever, just this past few weeks where we, buried Evelyn there, where we were in the hospital and things. And I tell you what, I wasn't praying like I ought to at that time. But I was getting text messages from Brother Bowen. I was getting text messages from people that knew about it. But I got text messages from people I haven't talked to in years. Years. Some that live in other states. And they said, Brother Andrew, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm praying for you. While I'm sitting in the hospital with my wife, and she's struggling and hurting, and I'm hurting, and I wasn't praying at that time, but there was people I knew were praying because they told me. But then there was other people, Sister D, that didn't even know what happened. And for the next 3 weeks, leading up to just about 2 days ago, I've been getting random text messages from people that didn't even know what happened. That said, I have no clue why, but God put you on my heart and I'm praying for you. Amen, Brother Cody? So what is that? That's God. That somebody is talking to God. And I'm thankful for that. Does that ever happen to you? Does God ever lay somebody on your heart? Amen. And each time I would respond to them and say, well, as a matter of fact, we have been going through something. And they would say, I didn't have a clue. I'm so sorry. But I've been praying for you. Man, what an encouragement that is. When we don't feel like we can, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to go through things in your life where you can try to pray if you want to, but you're going to have a hard time. You'll be so discouraged, and you say, and man, thank God for a church family, and for, hey, God's family can be extremely difficult and stubborn sometimes, but it's a good family. Amen. Just like brothers and sisters, they're going to fight and fuss and cuss sometimes. Amen. Depends on what church you go to. They'll be cussing and screaming and throwing stuff and drinking. But I'm thankful for God's family. Amen. The last thing you ought to pray for is for Israel. The Bible tells us, He tells us, Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You ought to pray for those things. Amen. You want to know what's coming? Just keep an eye on Israel. Man, there's a lot going on. A lot going on. The place of prayer, the period, the person, the purpose, and the, let me give you this last thing. The last thing is the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. You understand, church, and I've said this before, you've heard it. In the Old Testament, there was only one person, one time a year, to go into the Holy of Holies and talk to God. I mean, you know, Abraham, whenever he went up, and Moses, when he went up on that mountain, nobody else could go up there. I mean, if they wanted to talk to God, it had to go through these channels, and only one. Even Moses, when he went up there, and Joshua said, Joshua can't come all the way up. Only Moses. And that high priest, when he went in to the Holy of Holies, they would tie a rope around his ankle in case he messed up in there. They could drag him out, but he was the only one that could go in there. Only one. Everything they did had to go through that priest. I'm thankful it's not that way anymore. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and I'll be done. Hebrews chapter number 10. Church, we've got camp meeting coming up, but more than camp meeting, and I'm excited about it, I hope you are too, but more than camp meeting, we are about to go into some dark times. I mean, we're already in some of them, but we're about to go through some really dark times. Your families will be going through some dark times. Our church, this country is about to start going through some dark times. And you better get a relationship of talking to God right now. And don't wait. Miss Sarah, would you come to the piano? Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 18. Man, I'm thankful for these verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 18. You there? Say amen. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." The Old Testament, they could not go into the Holy of Holies. I mean, not just anybody could walk in there. A matter of fact, there was one king, I believe it was Uzziah. Wasn't it Uzziah who got his heart filled with pride and his head filled with all this knowledge and pride, and he thought that he was going to go instead of the priest and walk in, and he got smote with leprosy and God ended up killing him. Amen? I mean, you just couldn't walk in there, Brother Cody, anytime you wanted to. But then Jesus died, and we talked about His blood being shed last week, and a part of the benefit of Him shedding His blood, He was the final sacrifice. And now because of that, we can go to Him anytime we want to. Anytime we need to, we can go talk to Him. A child can go talk to Him. An adult can walk in and talk to Him. I mean, we at any time, wherever we're at, in the car, hey, I'm telling you, there'll be some times in your life, it might be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and my stupid phone's got this do not disturb thing on it, and I don't know how to turn it off or turn it back on, and I don't know what's happening. Sometimes I miss calls in the middle of the night. It used to not do that. It used to just always ring. And I don't know how to figure it out. Amen. I've been messing with it, trying to get it to, 'cause if somebody calls me, I want to be able to answer the phone. I mean, somebody might need me, but for some reason it's not been working. You say, what are you getting at? Sometimes you can't get a hold of me. Sometimes you won't be able to get a hold of Brother Bowen. Sometimes you won't be able to get a hold of somebody. But there is somebody you can get a hold of. And right there, when you can't get anybody, you can get the one that really matters. And you can talk to Him. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, there'll be things in your life that you can't tell nobody. I mean, you can't tell the preacher. You can't tell a soul, but you can talk to God about it. Why don't we do it? Amen. Why don't we have that time of prayer? As she begins to play, let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. What about it, church? How's your prayer life?